Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Ruth, chapter 2. Ruth, chapter 2. We'll read verses 7 through 10 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. Ruth, chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. When we're done reading, preachers ask that you keep your Bibles open, because he'll be referring to it often, and like you'd have it open when he's preaching. Ruth, chapter 2, verses 7 through 10. Seventh book of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, and then Ruth. Actually, the eighth book, sorry. Can't count. Ruth, chapter 2. And we'll start reading verse 7. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came, and hath continued even from the morning until now, that she tarried a little in the house. Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but bide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they shall not touch thee? When thou art athirst, go unto the vessels, and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Then she fell on her face, and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for the privilege of just being a part of it. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help us today. Lord, the weather's a bit dreary outside, but we have the warmth and the presence of the Holy Spirit inside. I pray that you'd be with our preacher. Lord, the needs are many, the hearts are heavy, so many things going on in life. And Lord, as we come to a screeching halt to hear the preaching of the Word of God, may our hearts be in tune with you, with the preacher, and with the preaching, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, we couldn't have had probably a better special right here before the sermon. This morning, I'm going to talk to you about the Word of God. That well about which they speak is the water of the Word of God. I hope you'll listen to me. It is the start of the year. You've heard me say this a couple times here already in January. So many want to start their year outright. If you allow the beginning of the year to be a challenge to you, and it is a time to push the reset button, then may I recommend to you that you do so in the area of your relationship to the Word of God. You ought to start your year outright by making sure you're on track and reading your Bible like you should. Make sure your relationship to God, and you will not have a relationship with God unless you're having a relationship with His Word. I make no apologies in regard to my stand on the Word of God. I would never, for any reason, ever, for any reason, want to cast doubt in anybody's mind about the Word of God. Never would I ever, ever use my influence to cause people to have less faith or less confidence in the Word of God. Always do I want to use my influence to cause people to have greater faith and greater confidence in the Word of God. Dangerous thing for any preacher to ever cause people to have less confidence in the Word of God. I believe that I hold in my hands the only book that God ever wrote. I believe the most important book in the universe is the Bible, and it is God's Word. I've entitled my sermon this morning, God's leftovers are better than the devil's main course. God's leftovers are better than the devil's main course. Please stay with me if you will. You have your Bibles there in Ruth chapter 2. Let me tell you a bit of the story if I could. Elimelech, Naomi, and their two sons lived in Bethlehem. A famine came to that land. They then fled in a backslidden condition away from Bethlehem. Well, leaving Bethlehem was a poor decision. While they went to a place called Moab. So here you have Elimelech and Naomi and two sons living in Bethlehem. The famine comes to the land. They flee that land, and they went to Moab. Here's the sad thing. In that backslidden condition, that poor decision-making, while living in Moab, Elimelech dies. So here, this gal's husband dies. Then her first son dies. Then her second son dies. May I say to you, you need to watch leaving the will of God. It may cost you your family. I've watched so many men leave the will of God, and the wife and the children are the ones that pay for it. Now, one daughter-in-law named Ruth returns to Bethlehem with Naomi. See, Elimelech and Naomi, they moved to this place called Moab. The sons get married, but both the sons die. And dad dies. And now Ruth and one of her daughters-in-law, they decide to return to Bethlehem, which they shouldn't have left in the first place. And it's 10 years later. When they arrive back in Bethlehem, Ruth and her daughter-in-law, that's all that's left. That's all she has left now. She is poor. She is needy. When Ruth arrives in Bethlehem, she's hungry. Got to figure out now, how am I going to support myself? How am I going to take care of myself? Since she's poor, she has to do what they call gleaning in the fields. Gleaning is when someone would go into a field after the harvest and pick over the leftovers. This is if we took an apple orchard and the people had come through and picked all the apples, and a week later the owner said, okay, now you poor people, you can go in there and if you can find a few apples on the ground, go ahead and pick them up. That's what gleaning was like. Now here's Ruth. She has no money. And she has no way to feed herself, and she's poor. So she goes to the farmer and says, I need to get a little food somehow. So she gleans. She gleans in the field of a man by the name of Boaz. Boaz was called her kinsman. Ruth chapter 2 verse 1 says, and Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's mighty man of wealth of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. The word kinsman here is an interesting word. It means it's a very strong friend, maybe some type of relative, but this is really, Boaz here is likened unto Jesus. Boaz is called mighty, meaning he is a hero, once again, reminding me of Jesus. He was a man who had much to offer, once again, reminding me of Jesus. See, Jesus is our friend. Jesus is our father. He's like a brother to us. He is like a hero to us, and he is the one that has the most to offer us. Boaz, his name actually means, in him is strength, and it is in Jesus Christ that we gather and have our strength. I believe in this story, from this book here in Ruth chapter 2, Boaz is a picture of it's an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. All right. Now Ruth here, she pictures the poor and needy. You say, who's that? That's me and you. You and I, we're the poor and needy Christian, if you will. We're the poor and needy. So we have Boaz, who pictures Jesus, our kinsman and redeemer. You have the picture here of Ruth, and she's the poor and needy one. That pictures you and I as Christians. Now, the gleaning of the harvest, or the food here. What does that picture? The food pictures the Word of God. John chapter 6, verse number 48, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. In John chapter 6, verse number 50, it says, this is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. What's it talking about? The Word of God. The Word of God is our bread. The Word of God is our manna. Some of you have heard, there's a daily devotional I used to recommend. It's called Our Daily Bread. What was it talking about? In reference to the Word of God. And so here we have Boaz, the kinsman redeemer, a picture of Jesus. Ruth, the poor person, the needy person, a picture of me and you as Christians. Then we see the gleaning up from the harvest. What's that? A picture of the Word of God. This story is about how Ruth gathers the leftovers, and those leftovers change her life. I like leftovers. Personally, I think lasagna is better the day after than the day of. I think you let lasagna simmer in its juices overnight in the fridge, and you let all that cheese and the meat drippings and all that get on there. You zap that baby in the microwave the next day, I think it tastes better day two than it did day one. I think chili's the same way. I really think chili gets better as it sets there. I think you take a good roast, a big old chunk of venison or a big old chunk of beef, and you threw it in the crock pot and you put some, I put some garlic in there and some onion and some carrots and some potatoes and maybe some mushrooms and a little of this and a little of that. You put it in there, you let her cook, but the longer it sets, the better off it is. I think meatloaf's a lot that way. This is Klepcash makes a mean meatloaf. Well, I'll tell you what. Meatloaf to me is better on day two or day three than it is on day one. Most soups are that way. Yeah, soup, you let it just have a little bit of time to itself. Now, the gleaning process was a leftover process. She would come along after everybody else had been through the field. God was providing for her. She was getting the leftovers. But let me tell you all something. When God gives you and I the crumbs that fall from the master's table, the leftovers that we get is better than anything the devil gives the people in the world. My sermon is called God's Leftovers Are Better Than the Devil's Main Course. Let's learn from Ruth how to go to the field of Jesus and gather the leftovers of the Word of God and let it be nutrition to our sin-cursed souls. The leftovers from God's table are better than all the food served in the main course of the devil's table or in the world. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take some statements from this passage of Scripture and this story, and I'm going to show you how you and I can go to the Word of God and how God gives us from the Word of God the nutrition and the energy and the strength that we need from the Word of God. And let me tell all of us, in these days, you better have a relationship with the Word of God. In these days, when you turn on the news and it's negative and there's so much happening in our government, you say, I need something that's stable. God said, my word changes not. You want an anchor? We have an anchor. We have an anchor in the Word of God. You better learn how to run to the Word of God. Hey, don't you determine your future based on what CBN or NBC or Fox News tells you. You better determine your future on the Word of God. In these days where we face, you just take this tragedy that's happened in Haiti and you say, it just scares me. Hey, you get to the Word of God. In these days of illness, you get to the Word of God. You get to the Word of God. You get to the Word of God. You need to have a relationship with the Bible. And then this story of the gleaning, the leftovers that are being gathered, let me show you some things that I think will help you. You see, the first thing that I see here is that Ruth had a desire to glean. She had a desire to glean. In Ruth 2:2 it says, Ruth said, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn. Let me. Let me. Let me. Folks, it's not a matter of we have to read our Bible. It's a matter of we get to read our Bible. Do you know how many countries across this world would like to have as many Bibles as what you have around your place? I mean, the average Christian in here, you own two or three and your kids own two or three. They're stacked up and piled up and you've got some that have been retired and put on a shelf. Oh my, what a privilege. We have the Word of God. And Ruth said, let me. Let me go to the field. Let me go get something from God. The Christian should have a desire to glean from God's field. That is His Word. Let me ask you a question. She was going because she was hungry. She was hungry. Are you hungry, Christian? Are you hungry? Say, yeah, preacher, you were talking about lasagna. You were talking about meatloaf. Yeah, preacher, I'll tell you all, when you're talking about that roast, we've got one at home in the crock pot right now. That's basically the problem. You and I are hungry for that which refreshes the body. But God said, you need to be hungry for that which refreshes the soul. Are you hungry? Hey, Christian sitting in that balcony, are you hungry to get something from the Word of God? Are you starved to get something from the Word of God? Is your spiritual tummy growling? We need to be hungry. The Bible says here that she had a desire to glean. Ruth said, let me now go to the field. There ought to be something inside you that says, I've got to get to the Word of God. I've got to get something from the Word of God. I've got to get to the field of the Word of God. And I want to start gathering up some of those leftovers. I want to feed my belly. I want to feed my soul. I want to feed my life. I'm going to tell you all something. If you came to church hungry today, we've got a whole book full of bread. Enjoy it. Do you want to learn the Bible? What happens is in our lives so many times church becomes a social event instead of a spiritual happening. We come to church because it's our routine. We come to church because that's where our friends are now. We come to church because it's expected of us. Let me tell you something. I came to church today because God wrote a book, and the primary purpose for me and you to be here is to open up that book and learn that book and love that book and memorize that book and let that book change our lives. Be careful. Be careful. You may be religious, but not being a good Christian. Do you want to learn the Bible? Do you want to study His Word? Ruth is begging for the opportunity. Hey, how hard do you work at getting to church and Sunday school so you can learn the Bible? Can I tell you something we do? We give people duties all over the place. Parking lot attendants, and all these are important. We've got ushers, we've got Sunday school teachers and assistant Sunday school teachers. But Jimmy, we've got people that bring refreshments and people that do this and people that do that and people that run nurseries. You know what? And everybody comes to church. I've got to go. I've got this obligation. I've got news for you. There's something more important than your responsibility. It is the Word of God. Now, all those responsibilities, I'm glad they get you here anyway, but I'm going to tell you something. If you have no responsibility at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that draws you in to do your service, you better let the Word of God draw you in. You better say, I've got to have something. I've got to get there. I've got to get the Word of God. I've got to have the preaching of the Word of God. You see, Ruth, she had a desire to glean. Secondly, Ruth gleaned in the right place. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 3, it says, and she gleaned in the field after the reaper. She knew where to go. You know, the Christian should learn his Bible. And may I recommend something to you? If I were you, I'd learn the Bible at the feet of those who are reapers. She went to a field where she knew the field had reapers. You say, what's a reaper? We are to be bringing souls to the Master. We sing the song, sowing in the morning, sowing in the evening, sowing in the noontide and the dewy eve, waiting for the harvest and the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. What's that talking about? Keeping people out of hell. You want to learn your Bible, you want to learn your Bible right, you better find you a church that's keeping people out of hell. Because I'll tell you what happens. She knew to go and get what she needed from a place that was reaping. 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 You'll get red-hot Bible truth. You'll get red-hot preaching from people that are keeping folks out of hell. I believe you need to be careful. You get off with some of them theologians that never do anything for God. All they do is sit around and write books about doing something for God. That's a bunch of baloney. You give me somebody out there on the field making something happen. I want to get around them and find out why God's using them and what's happening there. It's important to go to the right kind of a church. It is. Our church is a harvest field. You know, there's so much truth being slung around here. You say, oh, I got a little bit of it. Then you probably got you a truckload. It's everywhere here. Let me explain something to you. And every Sunday school teacher, you leaders of the church, understand something. There is a reason why that when you took a position of leadership in this church, you agreed to go soul winning on a regular basis. Why? You are to be a reaper, and that'll make you more influential when you're teaching the Word of God. People that talk about it but don't do it are not nearly as powerful in their impact as the ones that are doing what they're teaching. And so every Sunday school teacher, nursery workers, everybody here, they agreed when they went to work at a position of this church that they would go out and be a part of the reaping process. You see, she had a desire to glean, but not only that, she gleaned in the right place. There were reapers before her. Something was happening. She looked out in that field and said, wow, look at those people work. And they came. She followed after them, picking up the bits and the pieces. Thirdly, Ruth kept on gleaning. In verse number 7, you see it there, it says two words. She hath continued. Here's somebody that went to the field and just kept going after it. Let me tell you something about your Bible. You need to continue. In other words, she didn't glean just for a while, she kept on gleaning. The Christian should live in the Word of God constantly, constantly feeding from His Word. Let me tell you all something. We have this tendency when something comes into our life, tragedy comes into our life, and we suddenly think, oh boy, I need something. I'll turn to God. You know something? You needed God before the tragedy came. You say, oh no, I lost my job. I think I'll turn to God. You needed God before you lost your job. You say, oh no, I lost my health. I think I'll turn to God. You need God before you lost your health. You said, oh no, I lost my husband, I lost my wife, I think I'll turn to God. You needed God before you lost your husband or wife. Oh no, my child is rebelling against me, I think I'll turn to the Word of God. You needed God when you had your child. Hey, you better make sure you keep on leaning. Keep on going to the Word of God. Hey, you go to God when the weather's rough and you go to God when the weather is smooth. You go to God when it is sunshine and you go to God during the clouds. If you're not careful, you'll be the kind of Christian that you only pop open your Bible when you think you have to. You have to all the time. You've got a very wrong opinion of how much you need God. You need Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. You need to walk in the Spirit and walk in the Word of God. The Bible says here, she hath continued. Sometimes younger Christians have more desire to get truth in their Bible even than older Christians do. What am I telling you? Read your Bible, but keep reading. And keep reading. And keep reading. I think you ought to read your Bible every day. And then 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 read it again. And 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 read it again. Read it again. And read it again. You say, that's ridiculous. Read it again. And read it again. And read it again. I can't think of anything Christians need more today than to get that book open and get their nose back in that book and get back close to their God. I'm proud of our teenagers. We had a revival at Martinsburg Christian Academy. I preached at the onset of revival, and I told them there will never be a revival in Martinsburg Christian Academy or in your life until you've established a relationship with the Word of God. I said, there's some of you need to read your Bible all the way through. I thank God. When they started making public all their decisions about the youth revival over and over and over again, young people saying, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through. I'm going to read my Bible every day. She continued in her gleaning. Let me say this. The Bible says she gleaned all day. Chapter 2, verse number 7 of Ruth, it says, even from the morning until now. Let me explain something to you, folks. You say, well, preacher, I get up in the morning and I read my Bible. I'm glad you do. That's a good time to read. It's a good way to start your day. But you know what we're supposed to do then? We're to take what we read in the morning and we're to be thinking about it throughout the day. You're not to read and get something from God and then push it aside. That's your daily bread. Now, when you get up in the morning and you eat breakfast, that's supposed to help give you energy to make it through the day. And that's what's supposed to happen to you spiritually. You get up and you read it, and that takes you through the day. So what do? I read my Bible. I read it. Let's say I read my Bible at 4 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's supposed to be carried into 5 o'clock, and into 6 o'clock, and into 7 o'clock, and into 8 o'clock, and into 9 o'clock, and into 10 o'clock, and into 11 o'clock. Hey, you say, well, I ran out of energy. Then open your Bible at lunchtime at work and read a little bit more. And let it carry you through noon, and at 1 and 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 and 6 o'clock. You're to be meditating on the Word of God all the time. All the time. Those of you that go to the public school, let me recommend something to you. Take your Bible to school. It's not against the law for you to take your Bible to school. If they can take Harry Potter books to school, you can take your Bible to school. Thank God we've got one of our young men, Dylan. He's done some work with his Bible at school. I'm very proud of him. People know about it. I'm glad of that. When I went to the public school, I took my Bible to school with me. Why? I'm commanded by God to think about it, meditate on it all day long. Hey, some of you need to take your Bible to work. Some of you just said, amen, teenager. Take that Bible to school. You take your Bible to work. Some of you women wouldn't be so loose at work if you had your Bible laying on your desk. Read it. Read it at lunch. When I worked secularly in the machine shops and the steel mills, I started Bible studies at work. One day a week, I'd invite all the men that I could get. We'd go out on the dock. I'd open up my Bible and teach them the Word of God. He said, they might think I'm a quack. So what? Being a quack's pretty normal in this day and age. I'd rather be a quack for Jesus than a quack for the devil. You say, you just don't understand. Yes, I do. I've been there. I know what it's like. You say, you're a fanatic. Your definition of fanatic is anybody that's a better Christian than you. You see, in this story of Ruth, she had desire to glean. From what? Well, the Word of God in this story, if you will, as we've looked at what she was picking up from the field as the Word of God. She gleaned in the right places. She kept on gleaning. She gleaned all day long. I like this. It says here that she was admonished to not glean in another field. Look at Ruth chapter 2, verse number 8. Notice the words, go not to glean in another field. Go not. This field was all she needed. Evidently, God said, the field that I've given you is the field where you need to go. She didn't need anything else. Oh, how the Christian needs to stay in the Word of God and not glean in the fields where the rubbish is thrown. I believe my field is the King James Bible. I believe God's given us in the English-speaking language the Word of God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is our God-breathed book. The Bible says in Psalm 12:6, the words of the Lord are pure words as silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. I don't need to go someplace else to glean. Let me tell you something. The best psychology book written on the face of the earth was written by God. That book right there will help you. Don't go to another field. Stay with the field that God's given you. See, Ruth was admonished not to go to another field. Here we see Ruth. She's hungry. And let me tell you, in this story, Ruth and her husband had made a mistake, got out of the Word of God. She comes back. Everything's falling apart. God uses the field to rebuild her life. She had a desire to glean. She had a desire to glean in the right place. She kept on gleaning. She realized the importance of the consistency. She gleaned all day. In other words, she just kept gleaning. Ruth was admonished not to glean in another field. Next here, in verse number 15, we didn't read this earlier. Let me read it to you. Ruth was allowed to glean among the sheaves. Let me explain that to you. In Ruth chapter 2, verse 15, the last part of the verse says, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves. Let me explain. The gleaning portion was this. The main harvesters would go into the field and they'd pick all the crops. They would leave the field and go take their stuff to market or distribute it. When the gleaners came in, these were the poor people like Ruth, they would go in and get the fragments that remained, the leftovers. Well, what happened here is Boaz looks at Ruth and says, wow, This woman means business. This woman is committed to getting those little fragments. He said to the men that were doing the main harvest, he said, hey guys, when you're harvesting the field, I want you to leave some bunch of grain there on purpose. Grab a handful and on purpose leave that handful there. So I said, why? He said, Ruth will pick it up. She's a go-getter. She wants it so bad. It won't be wasted. She'll get it. She'll grab it. After a while, let me tell you something. You consistently go to the Word of God and consistently go to the Word of God and consistently go to the Word of God. And you say, well, you know, brother, once I try and try and try and try and try. And boy, there's sometimes you'll stand up in church and say something and I feel like, wow, that was so powerful. And then I go to the Bible and it doesn't seem like it happens that way for me. Let me tell you something. You keep on and keep on and keep on and keep on. One day God's going to look down and say to you, you know what? That Christian right there keeps coming and keeps coming and keeps coming. Hey, I'm going to give him a whole handful of truth today, but you got to keep coming. You got to keep going to the field. You see, now Ruth is gleaning among the sheaves. In other words, she's getting a part of the main harvest. No longer is she taking just the leftovers, but God said, I am going to load her basket down. The whole field is now beginning to open up to her. When a Christian keeps on gleaning and keeps on gleaning and keeps on gleaning, God soon opens the Bible up to him or her and gives them some truth that maybe they never recognized before. If you will stay in your Bible, God will give you some wonderful truths. Let me encourage some of you. You're a younger Christian. You hear people say, go to the Word of God. It will feed you. Go to the Word of God. You're going to find some fantastic things. Go to the Word of God. You're going to find some powerful truths. And you say, well, preacher, I've been doing that. It just doesn't seem, nothing's knocking my socks off and nothing's mowing me over. Let me make you a promise. You keep going and you keep going and you keep going and you keep going. I've had those spells where I went to the Bible and nothing was jumping off the page and nothing was revolutionary. Now, to be very honest with you, it's probably jumping off the page and revolutionary all along the way. It wasn't God's fault. It was my fault. But I just kept going and 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 kept going. And all of a sudden, God said, you're going to keep coming at me like that? I have no choice but to give you something bigger. I have no choice but to give you something greater. And God does. And God does. Ruth was allowed to glean among the sheaves. Truth from the Bible is not just for the preacher, folks. You may have been involved in some religious organization in the past that gave you the impression that that book is only understandable by a man of God. That's baloney. That book is understandable by every born-again Christian. Hey, even a lost person can understand at least one part of that book. You say, what's that part? How to get saved. If you're lost and you know everything about the Bible except for salvation, you're in terrible shape. You're going to be the most biblically trained person burning in hell in the universe. If you're not saved, you just need to get born again and forget about everything else you know about the Bible. You learn the Bible after you get saved. But every born again Christian in this house, you can learn that book. God will speak to your heart. God will change your life. God will give you truth. God will give you manna. And if the only time you're being fed during the week is right here in this church, there's something wrong with you. You say, Brother Owens, I just feel like when I come to church, it's the only time in the week I'm being fed. You're going to starve to death, Christian. You've got a bread truck right there on your lap. It's called the King James Bible. Pop open the back doors, dig into that thing, eat you some bread. Dig out. Hey, you can be a glutton and get away with it. Eat all the bread that you want. Eat it in the morning. Eat it in the evening. Eat it at night. Some of you like to come to the church, and I think I'm glad you have this attitude. You like to come to the church. There's something I love to smell bread cook. You know, they put in these new restaurants in the gas stations. Young people say, you know, they didn't always do that. You couldn't always go into the gas station and get you a Subway sandwich. Now, there's not a whole lot about that that is attractive to me, but if you start cooking bread when I'm around, I love to smell bread cooking. You want to know something, Brother Hawkins? I'd like it around here at the church when people pull on the parking lot and say, you know, you smell that? Fresh bread. Here comes the manna. Here comes the bread. We're going to get something to eat. We're going to get something that will challenge us today. But let me tell you something, folks. Hey, Daddy, your kids at home ought to say, you smell that? Daddy's got bread cooking for us today. Hey, Mama, and I'm not talking about the sourdough. I'm talking about the bread of the Word of God. When was the last time your child said, it smells like Mama and Daddy are going to give us some bread today? Don't you get the idea the man of God does all the feeding? I do not. Now, I may throw out a buffet for you three times a week, but all of you ought to be packing your own lunch. Come to me and say, well, you don't preach enough of this or enough of that, then get it at home. And people criticize me, thinking, hey, you don't do enough of this or do enough of that and you're preaching. Get it at home. Open your Bible up. Spend 3 hours in the morning. I've never had somebody that spent 3 hours in the morning reading their Bible criticize my preaching. Never. Never. Your problem is you're starving yourself or starving your husband or starving your wife or starving your kids, and then you blame the preacher.
Yeah.
Eat your bread. Fix your bread. I knew I needed humor in here somewhere. I couldn't figure out where to put it, so I left it out. Here's the spot. Next, the Bible says that Ruth got some handfuls of purpose. Handfuls of purpose. Look at Ruth chapter 2, verse number 16. It says there in verse 16, the very first part of it says, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. See, when Boaz saw that she meant business, he told the reapers to drop some barley, seemingly accidentally, so she could get more. And this is what the Lord does for us. After He lets us glean among the sheaves and we continue to glean, He gives us some special jewels of Scripture, some truths and some teachings that we've never seen before. Let me tell you something. There have been times when I've read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible and read the Bible. I remember I used to read Psalm 37:4 that says, delight thyself also in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And I read it again and it says, delight thyself also in the Lord and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. I used to think that means, you know, if I'll do what I want, if I'll do what God wants me to do, you know what He'll do? He'll give me anything I want. I used to think if I'll do what God wants me to do, He'll give me anything I want. He'll give me anything I want. He'll give me anything I want. That's not what that verse teaches. But I read it and I read it and I read it. I kept going back to it. One day it occurred to me. What that means is if I will delight myself in the Lord, He'll make me want the right things. One day it occurred to me after I nibbled at the bread and 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 I kept going back to the bread. One day God said, let me give you a chunk of bread, boy. He handed me a chunk of bread. I chewed it up and digested it and said, wow, I've read it 100 times, but I never saw that. What's that? That's called a handful on purpose. God said, let me give you a handful of truth. Let me give you a handful, a whole handful of grain. See, Ruth got some handfuls on purpose. God can give you truth. God can give you truth that you can give to others. After He lets us glean for the sheaves and we continue to glean, He gives us what He called handfuls of purpose. Let me ask you something. When was the last time you called a friend to share them the truth that God gave you?
Right.
Every man here, when was the last time you walked up to a friend and said, can I show you something God gave me from the Bible? So I don't want to seem religious. Don't worry, you won't. When was the last time, you ladies, when was the last time at work you went to somebody and said, let me show you something I found in the Bible? You teenagers, when was the last time you took your Bible out and said to your daddy, daddy, let me show you something. Let me show you something. Is Brother Rich Stoltz, he's probably down in Spanish church. I was so excited. Preached a sermon a couple of weeks ago about Daniel being preferred. Rich Stoltz, after the service, almost couldn't contain himself. Come running to me. No, it was in the evening service. I preached it in the morning and in the evening service, I think it was. Brother Stoltz come running to me. He said, let me show you something. Let me show you something that I found. I was thinking about that truth that you preached on Daniel being preferred. He said, look at this and look at this. I thought, calm down. But no, I don't want him to calm down. He was so excited that he had found a nugget of gold. He said, look at this, isn't that great? Thank God for that. thank God for that. I'm not against somebody discussing the sports scores, especially when the staff smears Martinsburg Christian Academy High School. When things like that happen, I think it ought to be advertised. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Glory to God. Let's magnify Him. But I'll tell you something. There are people in here, you have talked about every sports score under the sun, but you've not said one thing to one person about what you learned from your Bible in a year. You take that up with God, but let me tell you something. Ruth, she desired it. She kept after it, and God said, let me give you some. Let me give you a little bit more. Let me give you a handful. Let me give you a truckload. I like this. We see here the next thing that happened. The Bible says Ruth, in verse number 17, that Ruth beat out, B-E-A-T, beat out what she gleaned. Ruth 2:17 says, so she gleaned in the field until even and beat out that which she had gleaned. What's the word beat out mean? Well, if I can, I'll just compare it to the process of making it more usable. Well, like shucking the corn, like sifting wheat. My mom used to let me help with the green beans, snap the green beans. We were getting them ready for what? Consumption. We were getting them ready so everybody could enjoy them. I don't know exactly what it meant to beat out that barley, but it was a part of the process that made it more usable. God wants us, when we have gleaned from His Word, to meditate on it, get everything we can out of it, and let it be usable in our life and usable in the lives of others. Don't let what you get from the Bible just affect you for a moment. Squeeze that thing for everything it's worth. Get all you can out of that thing. But it became more usable in her life. Let me show you something else. It was obvious that Ruth had been gleaning. Look at Ruth chapter 2, verse 18, the last part of the verse. I say it was obvious that Ruth had been gleaning. It was obvious to others. Ruth 2:18, it says, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. Huh. Somebody knew Ruth had been gleaning. Now, what was gleaning? It was going to the field and gathering that manna or that barley. What did it picture? The Word of God. Boaz, kinsman redeemer, Ruth, hungry Christian, the field, that's the Word of God. And she was going to the field and gleaning, but it is obvious to her mother-in-law that she had gleaned. Did you know it is obvious if you have been gleaning? It is obvious if you have not. If you don't go get something from the Word of God often enough, we'll all know. It'll show up in your attitude, your church attendance, your obligations not being kept. When she came home, from the field, no doubt she had barley in her hair. She smelled like barley. I'm not talking about beer now. You're like, oh, barley brew. Well, that's not what we're talking about here. She came home. She no doubt had barley in her hair. She smelled like barley, barley in her shoes, barley all over her body. She had it in her pockets, everywhere. You know, it's true when somebody's gleaned from the Word of God, it just gets all over you. You get in the Bible up, it's going to get all over you. It's going to get on your hair, the way you wear it. You get into the Word of God, it's going to get all over you. It's going to get on your body, how you use your body and what you do with your body. It's going to get on your clothes and how you wear your clothes and what kind of clothes you wear. It's going to get in your eyes. It's going to be everywhere. What you look at, what you say, what you smell like, how you act, where you go, who you're with. She walked in and her mother-in-law said, you've been gleaning. You've been gleaning. It is obvious to the world, but especially is it obvious to God's people. They can tell. Being in the Word of God will change your attitude. Change your tongue. Change your thinking. I hope, I want my church to be able to look at their pastor and say, you ever heard that terminology, a man of the Word? I know it's probably, maybe it's wrong, vain, I don't know. But I wouldn't mind if somebody said, there's a man of the Word. That's my goal. You may not be able to say it now, but someday I hope you can look at your pastor and say, right there's a man of the Word. Man of the word. I don't want to be a man of the cloth. I'm not a good seamstress. Man of the word. Boy, I'd like that. I'd like that. Let me ask you, would anybody look at you and say, you know what? You can tell she's been in the word. You can tell he's been in the word. You used to hear that. You used to hear, say, boy, they've been in the word. Been in the word. But Bob, that used to be common terminology. Anymore you said that, people say, well, you whacked out in the word. What's that? Oh, no doubt people don't know what the word is. The word. I'm done, but let me say this. You know what ended up happening? Ruth was asked where she had been. Ruth chapter 2, verse number 19, the last part of the verse says, where hast thou gleaned today? Hey, Christian, where have you gleaned this week? Where'd you glean? If I had us all just walk up here to end the service and you had to tell the truth, you had to speak in the microphone, and I said, what book of the Bible did you spend your week in? And you stood up and said, well, in the book of Index. Spent a couple days in Concordance and the book of Jerusalem. How many of you have ever read the book of Jerusalem all the way through? Raise your hand. Those of you that raise your hand, there is no such thing as the book of Jerusalem. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do that to you. I really didn't think anybody raised their hand. I'm not going to do that again. Where have you gleaned today? Hey, Christian, where did you glean this past week? So you know, I'm not asking what channel. Can I tell you all something? The rougher the world gets, the more time in the book it takes to stay courageous, full of faith, and heading in the right direction. Say, I'm going through a lot right now, preacher. Then you better get in the book a lot. I think the nation's falling apart. The old black book's not. Hey, Christian, from where hast thou gleaned? Again, I make no apologies about my stand. That blessed, holy, precious book, that one right there, I fight for it. We may get a chance someday to die for it. And for all those that can't figure out which one, that'll be convenient for you on that day, won't it? If we called you up today and you were to testify as to where you gleaned, what would you tell us? We see this. She had a desire to glean. She gleaned in the right place. She kept on gleaning. She gleaned all day. She was told not to glean in another field. She then got to glean among the sheaves. Then God said, I'll even add to that. I'll give you some handfuls of purpose. She beat out what she gleaned. It was obvious to everybody that she had gleaned. They even asked, where have you been gleaning today? If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, this book tells us that everyone's a sinner. The Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. And for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what this book says. The Bible teaches that there is a penalty for our sin. God tells us there's a penalty. Now, I've sinned and you've sinned. There's a penalty for our sin, but Jesus Christ paid that penalty for us. He paid it with His sinless life, His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The Bible tells us we then, as sinners, need to turn to Him, realizing we're sinners and that He's the Savior. Ask Him to forgive us of our sin, come into our heart and be our Savior. That's how we get to heaven. And just so you know, you'll need that book to get you to heaven. It is through the pure Word of God we get born again. Now, understand something. If you're not saved, the only part of the Bible that is urgent for you to do something about is salvation. Again, if you study the Bible and study the Bible and study the Bible and you know everything about it and you die and go to hell, what good are theologians in hell? And there will be many there. Only saved people go to heaven, not theologians. And so, if you've never trusted the Christ of the book, somebody here needs to get saved. So I've been in church all my life. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you saved? So, well, Brother Owens, I got baptized once. That baptistry has never, nor will ever, save anybody. It's salvation through Jesus Christ. You say, well, I'm a church member. That I'm glad for that, but you got the cart before the horse. You need to become a part of the family before you start attending the family reunion. So you need to get born again. So if you're lost, the part of this book you need to grab hold of is the fact that you need to be born again. If you're not saved, we welcome you to the Savior. We have people that are trained to show someone how to be born again. You can leave this place born again today. In a moment, we'll have what's called an altar call and give you that opportunity. Now, if you're saved, to all of us, including myself, someone said, let's have the year of the Bible. Every year is the year of the Bible around here. Every year. But if you want to have a good year, that old black book is how you do it. Somebody here, you're awake. You know, if you just take a look at your attitude and compare it to the amount of time you're spending in your Bible, you might be able to figure out what's wrong. There are people you need to walk this aisle and dedicate yourself to your Bible again. There are people in here you've never read your Bible all the way through. I recommend that somebody here read your Bible all the way through. Somebody here, you used to have daily devotional time with God. And let me tell you something. I'm glad for all the devotional books and everything that's out there. But I'm going to tell you, you better open up the black book. Open it up and read it. There are people you used to have a daily walk with God. You don't anymore. You need to open it up. Some of you, the only bread you're eating is a bread that is served from the preacher's bread truck. That's not what the Bible teaches. I'll give you bread. I will feed you. But you need to be eating daily and all day. There's somebody in here, you've even stopped carrying your Bible to church. I don't know any way to say it. That's stupid. Bring your Bible to church. You bring it. You're supposed to bring it. We're going to have an altar call. Lots of people. Those of you sitting in the balcony, don't ever let that balcony. If I had my way, if I had enough money, I'd be building stairs down from the balcony. I'd put a set here. I'd put a set here. I put a set there and there and there and there and there and there so I get people up there to move and come down here every once in a while and use this altar. But don't you let that balcony stop you from using this altar. Somebody needs to come meet with God today about your Bible. Your Bible and your time with God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes.